So yeah, okay. So we're doing our little preamble recording as normal now.
Oh, it started.
Yeah, now I'm a little disappointed. Now last episode, I know, actually it came out really well. I really enjoyed last week's episode. Mm. But you were saying about it was going to be a dad chat thing. So I was really racking my brain for those 2 weeks. What can I say? And it's just like funny things weren't coming to me. And then Jem reminded me absolutely of something that happened. And that was, we were talking about when the guinea pigs are going to die.
All right.
And now guinea pigs, I think, do up to like seven, maybe a little bit older. And Kay was asking, oh, how long are they going to live? What are we going to do when they sort of thing? And it's like, fair barbecue. Enough. Well, she remembered that previously I'd talked about that in Peru, they eat guinea pigs.
Oh, no.
So her words were, Tom, when the guinea pigs die, can we put one on one of the barbecues and taste it?
I mean,
no, we can't, darling. No. So yeah, it was then just explaining it's old, it's tough, so it's probably not very tasty, and you just do not eat pets.
Yeah, eating pets sucks. I mean,
so yeah, that was the bit that I was going to bring up in the last episode.
It's good that she's like completely okay with it. You said you told a story when we used to do Three Dads One Pod about her discovering death. I'm sure you did.
I'm sure I did. I can't remember which one we said though. To be fair, she's had a couple of, she had the fish, she had a dwarf hamster, little Jakey, who was a, that was a very sad day. Even I had a tear in my eye when Jem sent me the message saying we're taking him to be put down. I was like, oh no.
And they put mice down.
Yeah. It's just a very high dose and they're gone.
My hamster committed suicide.
Okay, there's me thinking the 30-second clip this week was going to be being Kay talking about easing her pet guinea pig, but your hamster committed suicide.
Yeah. He used to climb up the metal bars of the cage and hang from the top and just drop off. And he used to do it all the time. And one time I think he hit his head on the way down. Yeah, because he wasn't old, he wasn't ill. Because I had two, one was called Pinky. And he was lovely. It's heartbreaking. I cried in the middle of the podcast already. He got really ill and old, and I used to have to like cuddle him and warm him up to get his limbs going every day, okay. And get him moving around, and he just died. Whereas Zipper, little terrorist, he was like the escape artist. He managed to eat open the metal bar and get out, and we didn't know which bar it was. So he would go push it out to one side and get out. I remember he landed on my face once and I whacked him across the room. But yeah, he used to climb up, drop down, climb up, drop down, climb down again. Like, so that's why I've just always said he's committed suicide. That was it.
That's
too young for this world.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just go straight in with the intro music at that. Welcome to the show where two men still firmly believe that we are in the glorious 80s and 90s. Today, have you heard the rhythm? The rhythm of the street. Yes, we are going to be heading into the world of children's TV and Arthur. Now, don't think of this as a dad episode. This is a cartoon episode. And trust me, if you've not seen Season 8, Episode 2, the second half, you are going to want to go and jump onto YouTube, onto Prime, go and find that episode, and you can watch it along with us as we get there. But we've got a few things before that, so we're not going to go straight into the main bit here. What we're going to do, first of all, is mistakes from last week.
None.
Yeah, you see, when Rob runs the podcast, we don't have any mistakes. When I run the podcast, we have horrifying mistakes. So there you go.
Can I just interrupt? Sorry, but I've just taken my toasties off. So, very sorry if you can smell something terrible. It's my sister's two toasties off my feet.
No, but you know what? Not the smell. We're not talking about foot fetish today. Not that I'm going to kink shame you. If that's what you like, that's what you like.
We don't kink shame on Channel 84.
But I'm just so glad to have found a kindred spirit whose family also called anything that had kind of grippy socks or grippy slippers are called toasties.
Oh, yeah. That's what they are, right?
Well, they're made by Totes. T-O-T-E-S is the brand.
Oh, so they're not called Toasties?
I presume. I don't know.
They're called Totesies.
I presume they're called Totes. I don't know, but I grew up almost every Christmas or every other Christmas getting them in the stocking, some really bright colour slipper socks, and they were just called Toasties.
And then they have little paw prints, as well. The grippers were paw prints,
the
right?
Kids ones had, yeah, paw prints, and the adults ones were just boring little circles. But yeah, it's just, it made me laugh to hear someone else call them Toasties, because that was just, I thought that was just my family.
I didn't know there was another word for them, so.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well, with no mistakes, I am going to move straight into a shamelessly stolen segment here. Now, I might introduce you to this podcast, like I introduced you to Cheap Show, and I'm going to try and push Digitizer onto you over on YouTube. There is a show called The Hamish and Andy Show, and they are based in Australia, and they've done Drive Time Radio for over 10 years, and they've packed that in, and now they do a podcast, all part of the same radio network, I think, and they've done TV shows, they've done kind of these travel videos where they go to a country and they just do lots of different tasks in these countries, and it's they are very, very, very funny. They're typical Australian humor, and it works for me. I love it. But one of the segments they have on the podcast is they have people phone up and say, have you thought about this person or this thing recently? And if they haven't, they win a baseball cap. And basically all these companies that sponsor them keep sending them baseball caps. So they've had like Anasol baseball caps and things like that sent to them, which they've then just given away.
As they're giving them away to other people, right?
Absolutely. But I just quite like the idea, especially after that first episode where we were talking about things. Do you remember how long ago it was and that sort of thing? Actually, you know what? We'll shamelessly steal it. We'll adjust it just enough so we don't get sued by them. But
it's ours now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ours. So I'm going to go first. So the rules are, you've got to be honest, first of all. There's no cheating. Just be absolutely honest. Did you think about it or haven't you? And we'll be good. We'll get 1 point each if you haven't thought about it. And if you have, no points at all.
And this is a prop-based? You've brought something that you're just going to... Because I've brought a prop. All mine are props. I've brought mine with me.
Oh, you see, that's an... I wish I had, because
mine
is a musical one. So that's what I quite like about it. We could bring anything to the table.
Okay, fantastic.
So mine is music, and I'm going to say, and I'm really fearful here that I'm not going to get a point today, because it literally just popped up on iTunes the other day and thought, God, I haven't heard these guys. And I'll upset a few of you in a minute as well. Good Charlotte.
No, I haven't heard them in a while. As soon as you say it, I'm surprised it hasn't come up during our music challenge.
That's very, very true. I hadn't even thought about the music challenge at the moment. Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't come up on
that. Now you've said it, I'm trying to think about what song they've sung that I'm going to know.
So they had Girls and Boys.
Yeah, okay.
They had Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Your Lifestyles of Rich and Famous, which is what I think in my head.
Now, the thing is, I probably don't know many of their other songs. And I was listening to them today and I just thought, you know what? And this is probably going to get a lot of people upset, or the fans of Good Charlotte. They are no better, and they are really not that dissimilar sounding to Busted. They're the same era. And if you think about it, the only thing that really makes it different between the two of the bands, Busted were clean cut. Good Charlotte went emo and say the occasional swear word.
Yeah,
otherwise,
I guess so.
There's really no difference in their musical stylings.
Yeah. I get attacked by the dog's bum. I think you're right.
Well, you're getting attacked by the bum. I've got a nose in the crotch.
Yeah,
so.
I was getting whipped by the tail. Sorry, everybody. I think you're right. They are pretty similar, and I had not thought of them in a long time.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I'm really surprised that didn't come up in the... It's moving the chairs around. That it hasn't come up in that song challenge so far.
So that means I get 1 point, which is an absolute win for me, because I seriously didn't think I was going to get one for that.
Right. Mine's a prop, and I have it in this drawer here.
Ah.
First stage of it is we need one of these. Would you like to explain what this is?
So this is a DMG-1 classic Game Boy in beige with the lovely pink buttons and the slightly bluey grey D-pad.
Now, I know you've thought about this, because we speak about these kind of things. But this isn't what it is. I just need this.
I was going to say, because I've got my yellow DMG-1 on the shelf. I see it every morning.
I have two. I have another one of these, which is slightly discoloured. This one was refurbished by my friend Stiddy for me as a gift for my 30th birthday. This.
The Game Boy camera. And I am going to deny you a point.
No, you've not thought about this.
I have, because literally last month, I watched an entire YouTube series of someone hacking the Game Boy camera to take an SLR lens on the front of it to see if they could take better pictures or not. But to actually see one in person, I'm going to have to steal that off.
Turn it on. I've got photos on it, probably.
Oh,
look. Let get the...
Right, if you had batteries in it, or batteries that weren't dead.
No, I just put new ones in.
Oh, I think Rob's put the batteries in backwards.
Oh, no, I tested it before you came.
Oh, dear. I heard the classic click-click sound.
Is that just the noise of your childhood?
If that came through on the mic, that is that classic, classic sound there. Oh, hang on, we've got...
So you want to go over to the album.
I'm going to just kill the volume. Yeah, over to view.
You could do like animated little pictures and put little things in. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Is there photos on there?
There are photos
on
there.
Of me?
Yes.
Because I last turned this on a year ago.
You as a pig boy, from the look of it. I mean, bear in mind, everyone, if you haven't played on a recent Game Boy...
That might actually be my cousin.
All your thoughts about how clear and how good the screen was is lies. It's not.
Across to the next photo?
It is a very...
I'll see
very...
if I can get some photos of it to put up on the website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, anything we talk about today, we'll make sure we'll get photos onto the webpage under the episode section so you can actually see the pictures that we're talking about. That is a thing of beauty.
Karen turned around too.
I know, I remember. Yeah. And you could put this in the Super Game Boy on the SNES.
Oh, could you?
Yeah.
Ah.
But lots of people didn't realise you could do that, so they were putting it in the SNES and then having to turn the SNES around when they could have just turned it around like that.
Yeah, I don't know how I figured that out.
It was such a great bit of kit. I'm jealous that you've got one, but it's... Oh.
Another really cool thing I nearly brought out, but this isn't going to be one that's good enough to me, is I've got Pokemon Pinball, which has a rumble... It's a rumble cartridge.
You had to put a AAA battery in it, yeah, if I remember.
I've got
and it's
upstairs.
Got the rumble cartridge, yeah. Yeah.
Got that upstairs. That's fantastic.
I think there was only one other game that used it. I was going to say it might have been Kirby or one of the Kirby games.
Well, it was built into the cartridge itself, so Kirby would have come with it. I've only ever seen it on Pokemon Pinball.
Well, maybe it was only Pokemon Pinball that
Kirby
did it.
Might have done. I don't think Kirby probably was a game I would have thought of buying at the time. Now I would buy it. But I think at the time, we're like, a little pink blob, I'm not going to buy that.
Well, that I never got into Kirby. I just, even now, I'm not blown away by it.
Smash Brothers put me into Kirby, and that's literally the only reason. I would never have normally been interested in it.
That's not a bad point. Super Smash Brothers probably introduced a lot of people.
Ness, I had no idea. I don't think I even still know really who Ness
is.
Earthbound,
and
that's it.
The best way to learn about that one is good old James Rolfe on Cinemassacre on the Angry Video Game Nerd, and he did an entire like hour long episode as the nerd doing Earthbound,
yeah.
And you kind of get an idea of who it is then. I'm just having a quick look here about whether it was. Oh no, it was Kirby Tilt and Tumble on the Game Boy Color. And
okay.
It didn't have a vibrate thing from the look of it. It had the ability you could tilt the Game Boy to make him do things. So it must have had like a read sensor in there,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, because you can fake tilts in the Pokemon. I think you can press the D-pad or something. It's a fake tilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's just classic kind of 80s, early 90s tech, isn't it?
Okay,
and that's really cool. That
I know what I'm bringing next time. That you would definitely 100% not have known.
Right, okay. And by the way, these scores will be on the webpage. If you head over to channel84.co.uk, onto the podcast menu, you'll see there's now a link that says scores, and you can go there and you can see the scoreboard for this particular session. So, yeah, they will be online. We will be keeping track of it until we get bored.
I've got a point in my heart. That's all that matters.
All right.
Before we get too far in, I'm going to send us off the track. I was messaging you today. Obviously, other people don't know that. I like sending you voice messages.
I noticed.
And I want to talk about a comment I made of tickling the taint of the algorithm. I've really been at it the last day. I've got really deep in Scientology stuff today.
Oh God.
Which just, I started listening to the Pokemon theme tune.
Of course.
Is how I started my day. Mm-hmm. And by my journey home, I was listening to people who have left Scientology and talking about it. I don't know how I got from there to there, but the algorithm took me there. Another thing that happened is TikTok, and you know how aggressive that algorithm is.
Oh God, yes.
Must have known, it must have been listening to me talking about the 30-day song challenge, because it started showing me loads of people talking about music. And one in particular was a guy, I've made notes here. He was saying, what is the weirdest intro to a song you've ever heard, right? And I couldn't think at the time. I mean, I listened to weird songs, but none of them are that bad. Well, he had one, and it's by a group called The Half-Wits Descent.
Okay, I've not heard of them. Never heard of them.
And the song is called 23 Beers. A lot of their music, like, it looks really kind of like a bit scary and kind of like
What sort of genre are we talking here? Are we talking
punk,
I
don't know
rock?
What genre it is. I really don't know what... It's kind of a mix.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the first line of it, and I've only listened to the first couple of lines. It says, she grabbed the midget's dick with her lobster claw. That's the very first line of the song. You're giving me a funny look.
Okay, right. And the next line?
I didn't write it down because I was just too flabbergasted by the very first line.
Well, you know what? What we'll do, I'm going to cut in the first few seconds of this song now into the podcast so you can hear it. Whether or not that gets a copyright strike, who knows?
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to put that in now.
She groped the midget's dick with her lobster claw. The devil disappeared into the monster's maw. A damsel in distress, bisected with a saw. I only thought I was a seer, but now I've seen it all. Now I lay me down.
So you can feel, now you have all heard those first few lines, and yeah.
I mean, I could play it for you now if you want to hear it. It was really weird. And then, yeah, that just TikTok just sent me on another spiral of other nonsense.
Okay, we'll talk about songs that have got just weirdness in them.
Mm.
And because you were talking about South Park.
Yeah.
So the Scientology episode of South Park's amazing. The Mormon episode of South Park's amazing. And then there's R. Kelly or is it Kanye? There's... Whoever did Trapped in the Closet.
R. Kelly.
Again, I'm not apologising for him because I don't listen to his music. So, yeah, we're not supporting R. Kelly here. But Trapped in the Closet. Do you know what that is?
I know the song, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to say it's South Park that introduced me to it, but it isn't. Do you remember Adam and Joe?
Yeah, I remember Adam and Joe. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I'm sending you a link. They did a podcast for XFM. Well, they did a radio show, and then they did all of them as the as a podcast. And they've got it's all on Adam Buxton's SoundCloud, so you can listen to all the XFM podcasts they did. And I'm going to play you Trapped in the Closet. And I just remember crying with laughter when I first heard that. And then when South Park did it, it was just even better.
Isn't it in the Scientology episode of South Park? Because Tom Cruise goes in the closet with
him. Yeah, it is, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
No, I haven't seen the episode. That was part of one of the videos I watched about Scientology today.
We need to have a South Park night where I show you that episode then, because it's one of the funniest episodes in the world.
Adam Buxton specifically and Ricky Gervais, the two people that they kind of attribute to podcasts becoming like as popular as they are? Am I completely misremembering this?
I don't know. That basically, they're the two big names that really got people maybe talking. But the thing is podcasting's been around a lot longer. And I've got to say, actually, I'm well up there. I'm well on board with, a lot of people say it, actually. And if you just look at Follow Cheap Show, quite obviously, they're vocal about it. It's horrible that... The likes of us, for example, unless we get really lucky, we're not going to make a mark on the podcast market. And the very simple reason is because every other fucking week, someone like Will Smith turns up, I'm doing a podcast now, because a company's got behind him and just dumped loads of money behind it. And the content of these podcasts are just crap. But people listen to it because it's a famous name and there's been so much money pushed into advertising it. And they never seem to go on for very long, these podcasts either. And that's what people are starting to believe podcasts are. I mean, I started listening to podcasts, well, the Hamish and Andy Show, I started listening to that probably in 2011, 2010. Obviously, I wasn't going to be able to listen to the Australian show live. And I found them, they came over to the UK and did a... They did shared broadcasting with, what's his face, Christian O'Connell on Virgin Radio. Yeah. And I thought, oh, these guys are brilliant. Let's look them up. Found their podcast. That was it. So do you think that's 12 years ago? But really, people have only started talking about podcasts now. The bigger names are getting involved and more money's involved.
My introduction to it was Yogpod.
Oh, God, that's a name, yeah. I haven't heard that for ages.
I think the reason I liked it so much, because it was two guys... I mean, Lewis is the same age as me and you. He's our age. Simon's older. I think he's in his 40s, early 40s. But they were just two guys into nerd culture, you know, big WoW players. And they just got on really well. And Simon was very funny. Lewis is funny as well, but Simon was extremely funny. And they just talked. And they just went really well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that got me into it. Just, I don't know, it's kind of almost voyeuristic just listening to people talk. Like kind of what we're doing now. But they're my real favourite kind of podcast, well, where people just talk.
Yeah, and I was chatting to a colleague earlier, and there's almost an ASMR quality to some podcasts as well. There's one I listen to called Criminal, and the host of that's called Phoebe Judge. Yeah. And she just has that voice that you can't help but go, it's a bit of an odd voice, but I like it.
Yeah. I feel like the way that anyone like us, particularly because we're not famous in any way whatsoever, you know, because like, you know, I was saying a lot of famous people do it, that we'll ever get big is by other people of our kind of area, maybe slightly bigger, cheap show, getting together and doing like specials and introducing each other's people to each other, you know.
No, absolutely.
And then in turn, that's how you can grow, you know. So what I'm saying is, Cheap Show need to put us on their show, and then we can steal loads of their fans, and they can have the two or three fans that we have.
Well, I would say though, Cheap Show have been absolutely fantastic. So when I've sent them things like the Derek tapes to play, and if you haven't heard the Derek tapes, go and check out episode, I think it's 105, the Brookside Tiger. I can't remember what the number was now, but if you just look up Cheap Show Brookside Tiger, you'll realise I've got had a very mad as just full stop mad uncle who thought he was good at telling stories and would send them to us on cassette tape, and it's the most batshit thing you will have heard. And they only get worse.
Can I say as well, when I saw that they followed us on Instagram, I was like, I kind of like exclaimed out loud to the room. I was like, TJ's gonna love this. And then I was like, told Miranda, and Miranda was just like, okay. Because obviously he doesn't know. She doesn't know the podcast. And I was like, no, TJ's going to really love this. I'm going to screenshot this now and tell TJ. He's going to be really happy about this.
I've got to say, the one thing, as I said, the Cheap Show boys have got me through a fair bit, actually. You know, when I've been very down, and their thing has actually really, really kind of made my day and helped me kind of get through, especially through COVID and being on lockdown and, you know, that kind of whole stir craziness that was going on and stuff like that. And I've been listening to them since probably about their episode 20, 21 sort of range.
Got them in like the 400s or something.
Yeah, I got onto them fairly early, which was nice. But I've managed to help them in various ways. So I've fixed their Zoom recorder, for example, or I've sent stuff in for them to do for kind of cheap eats and stuff like that. And they very kindly always said, not just TJ, but they've always said the channel name, which they didn't need to do. So Paul is just a very, and Eli are both just really nice blokes, but their show is brilliant. You should go and listen to it. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But I don't even know, how did we end up here, by the way?
I don't know, but let's get down, because I've been waiting for ages to watch this.
No, we aren't even there yet. So this was the shameless stolen segment. This now leads on to you've got Trek questions for me, apparently.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, I thought that was after the special. Let me just get out my notepad, my podcast notepad. Right, twofold. So I'm listening to Wil Wheaton's Still a Geek autobiography at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if you've ever read, I think it's called A Geek or something like that, his first one. No, it's called Just a Geek. The first one is Just a Geek, but he wrote when he was a lot younger, and he goes back, and this one is now basically he's reading it again.
Right,
going,
okay.
Like, no, you were a stupid child. And going through every single part of it with his extra experience and reevaluating all the things he said. And then at the end, it's kind of like another kind of 5 or 6 hours of other stuff.
Right, and okay.
Poor bloke's gone through a lot. His parents were awful to him. Absolutely awful to him. But what he mentions in it is something called the Travellers. Now,
right, okay.
Because he was in an end of one of the, I think the last episode of season 2 of Picard. He is in an after credit scene.
Right, okay.
And he's going on about being a time traveller.
Yes.
Right? And in the book, he talks about Wesley Crusher being a traveller. What the bloody hell is he talking about?
So, this is where I show my super geekdom here. So, coming towards, I would say, season 5 or 6 of TNG,
mm-hmm.
He's at Starfleet Academy. Mm-hmm. He's just attempted to cover up his friend dying in an accident because they decided to try and do a spaceship trick that they shouldn't have. So they all got reprimanded for that one. And Tom Paris from Voyager's in it, but Tom Paris. He's just a young cadet in it.
Okay.
Which is really weird when you watch it and then you go to Voyager. It's like, oh, is it a continuation? No, it's just a completely different character.
Just use the same actor.
Yeah, basically.
Doctor Who do that all the time.
Yeah, basically. And after kind of the academy and he's still there, he's on presume it's like summer holidays for them on the Enterprise, and he's just got a really shitty attitude. He's got kind of life is crap at the moment, and I'm sick of this. I'm sick of everyone's expectations.
Right.
And I can't see the name of the episode, but the episode is basically some bloke from Starfleet and his alien helper come to put the warp engines and do these magical calculations to him that no one can understand. No one can see any benefits from them. But it's to improve the efficiency. And the alien he's with is called a traveller.
Right.
But they don't know that at this point. And anyway, these equations don't do anything, but then they end up the furthest anyone has ever gone in space and time, basically. Then they finally come back, and it's... And no, you see, it's not even that episode. So that's a far earlier episode before he goes to... I'm getting myself muddled up there. Yeah, so we meet this traveller and he basically phases out of existence, not after going and telling Picard, you've got to look after Wesley, he's very special, there's something special about him, I can't tell you too much, but you've got to make sure he's safe and everything like that. And then, yeah, then there's an episode towards the end, I think it's season 7 or 6, season 6 probably, season 7 was the last season, and they're at this weird planet... There's aliens coming to take it over and kick them off the planet, basically. And it turns out that he is a traveler as well. He's got the brain power and the ability, the specialness to be a traveler, which basically means he then phases out of existence. We never see him again, but it means he can travel through space and time and do whatever he wants and go wherever he wants at any time.
Oh, so it's not like a DC Legends kind of thing where they have a time traveling spaceship.
No. He basically has the power to use his brain and suddenly realises all it is thinking, and bam, he can now time travel via thought.
What's that awful film where the actress unlocks that last bit of her brain?
Oh, is that the one with J-Lo?
No. Well, it is a remake, but it's got the woman... I can't remember. I have so terrible names. In the Marvel films, she plays Black Widow.
Oh, I know which one you mean, yeah. And I can't think of the name of the film now.
Yeah, that's an awful film. That's kind of like that. She unlocks her power of her brain and can do all these stupid things.
Yeah, so hang on, I'm literally just Googling it now. So, oh, he quit in season four. Is it?
No, he quit season five. He did five seasons, I thought. Because there's seven seasons, right?
Yeah, either the episode is called Journey's End. It's the 172nd episode of TNG. And having a look here, yeah, turns several colonized planets over to the Cardassians. There's a big fight, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And Wesley says his goodbyes and leaves with the Traveller. Oh, so the Traveller comes back and takes him with him.
Yeah, right.
I haven't watched that one for a while, to be honest, because it isn't that good an episode.
No.
It feels like they've just done it in a fake Indian settlement from North America. So it feels like it's a cowboy and Indian set, and it's not good.
No, I just remember it. Yeah. Can I say as well, Picard Season 3, Episode 4, right, is top-tier Star Trek. It is what Star Trek is.
I've literally watched that today. I've not caught up to episode 5 yet.
I haven't seen 5. I'm 4. Yeah.
So is 4 the one that they escape from the gravity well? Yeah. It's... I unashamedly was happy to see space jellyfish again.
Yeah. I was like whooping and hollering during that whole episode. It felt like a Next Generation episode. Yeah, that's what it felt
it
like.
It felt exactly like a TNG, except for it being dark and swearing. Get rid of the swearing, and I don't know why, but modern starships apparently can't have LED lighting or anything. Yeah, it's just got to be dark.
It's got to have lens flare everywhere. I hate it. It's really J.J. Abrams has ruined the kind of aesthetic of a lot of it.
Just why would it be in darkness? We all know that being in the dark is bad for your eyes,
yeah,
especially
when you're
using
at computer
a screen.
Yeah. So the other one is, I don't know anything about Deep Space Nine because you know I don't really like it.
Give it another try.
And the reason I'm going to mention that is because of there's a very small Otto reference in episode 4. You see his picture on someone's pad. Can't remember if it's Worf's pad.
Odo, you mean?
Odo. What did I call him? Otto.
Otto.
What's Otto from?
Simpsons.
Oh, is it? Yeah, so Odo. You know who I mean.
There's, I know
you
who
you see
mean.
Him. Because then the baddies are the same creatures.
Yes.
That made me think of Deep Space Nine. And then that made me think of the bloody hell happens in that wormhole where the captain becomes the god.
So that's the one bit of DS9 I've always struggled with. And I'm trying to get through it again at the moment. Mm. But I always get to about season, again, 4 or 5, I think it is. And it's basically Sisko going slowly mad. And it's all challenges of him being a prophet now instead. And I just turn off at that point. But yeah, basically, the beginning of DS9, you basically find out that he potentially is a prophet to the planet below, basically.
A prophet.
Yeah, so in effect, a legendary person or a god or whatever you want to call it, a deity. But it's worth rewatching. It is really, because it's actually got possibly, I would say, the strongest storylines for episodes out of all the Star Trek seasons. Now, TNG's always the top for me. DS9 is really close behind it now because actually the stories they tell and you have are incredibly powerful. There's at least 2 episodes that I can think of off the top of my head, which is purely just using Star Trek as a way and the fights and the wars that have gone on in the series to kind of highlight what the Nazis did. So there's a lot of deep diving kind of metaphors into there as well.
But
it's well done.
But TJ, is there an episode where they hyper-evolve into geckos and shag on an alien planet as geckos?
No.
That's why Voyager is better.
But that episode was stealing someone from TNG, where they all evolve into random things around the ship.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Worf turns into this giant rhinoceros monster thing and goes around biting people. Brilliant. Troy becomes a frog woman who can't get out of the water. It's brilliant. It's a really weird episode.
I kind of remember that bit. I don't remember him.
It might be called Evolution. I can't honestly remember episode names. I'm terrible with it. But yeah, that's a really good episode.
We're so similar in a lot of ways, except our second favourite Star Trek is different.
Yes.
No, mine is Voyager. Although, it wasn't until maybe only 5 or 6 years ago that I'd ever seen the final 2 episodes of Voyager.
I don't think I still have. I haven't, and I liked Voyager, but I went back and rewatched it, and I really enjoyed it the first watch through. The second watch through, I'm not enjoying it as much,
no.
And I don't know why. I don't know if maybe I just wasn't in the right mood for it, or the fact that, at least with the TNG side of things and with the DS9 things, yes, you had a continued story on certain things like the Borg or the Dominion and the Changelings for DS9. But with Voyager, it really was almost every episode was, today's just going to be, we've pissed off an alien. Next time we'll make friends with an alien. Then the episode of that, oh no, we've pissed off another alien. And it just kind of all felt very, very samey after the first couple of seasons.
The last season, if you've not seen the last, the action, because that is a lot of, that's more kind of arcing.
That's when they're
the
going against the Borg,
the
isn't
Borg
it?
And Species 241 or whatever, 24.
Mm.
I want to keep saying 24601 or whatever it is. From Les Miserables. I can't remember what they call them. But yeah, they're really good. They're really, really good.
Yeah, and they've got some good action to it. And yeah, I agree with that. Towards the end, it got much more exciting. But the first few seasons are very samey. I'll be fair, they're very samey.
I think if I'm going to rank them, not the episodes, will be here all day. So, Next Generation. Picard is next.
Yeah,
and it's right next to it because Picard is fantastic.
Now, I'm going to just literally interrupt you there. Season one of Picard was awful. Season two of Picard started really strong, and I felt it dropped off by the end.
I have something to say about season two.
But season three has started really strong, and it seems to be staying strong.
Maybe that's why I'm liking it as much. I mean, I've liked all of them, but I did go about 2 months thinking that the last episode of Picard season two was the episode before the last one. I had no idea there was, if there's 10 episodes, we finished on 9 and thought that was the last episode.
Right.
And we thought, oh, it's a bit of a cliffhanger, and then forgot all about it until we were looking through Amazon Prime and we're like, hang on, apparently there's an episode of Picard we haven't watched, and it was the last episode of season two.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Yes, and we watched that. So I've got, I think Picard's a close second. Maybe you're right because of only season three being as really good as it is. Next, I'm going to say Voyager.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
And then I'm going to say Lower Decks.
Fair play. Now,
I'm only 2 episodes in, but I love it so far.
Okay, so there is already an episode coming in season 2 where you will just say Lower Decks is now right at the top.
I've got a feeling Lower Decks is going to overtake Voyager. There's maybe even become second.
There's basically an episode of Lower Decks where they end up being tested and they've got to go through, and all the basically all the tests are various callbacks to all different episodes from Voyager, from TNG, from Deep Space Nine. And it is amazing because you watch it, it's like, this is just absolutely genius.
It just seems so different from anything Star Trek that they've ever done.
Well, they threw comedy at it, which is what Marvel did, which we've discussed before. Mm. But rather than just making it pure comedy, they tried to keep a bit of action. They made a cartoon version of the Orville and stuck a Star Trek name on it. That's what they did, and it's worked beautifully. Mm. Now, I've got a post on the webpage called Star Trek and Anuses, as you do, because there's a Lower Decks episode that really upset people by saying, oh, this is disgusting, how could you air it? All because at one point, they walk into the gym, and that's the picture they see. That's what comes up on the
just
screen.
Just that?
Yeah.
There's worse than that in episode one, that everyone eats each other.
Well, precisely, and we'll stick the picture, but it's basically a picture of Boimler with his legs spread and a black bar over his arsehole.
Oh, that's not offensive.
But at the very bottom of it, I've ranked my Star Treks.
I mustn't have read all of it.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have to go read it. Okay.
So for me, TNG's always top.
Yeah.
Followed by Lower Decks. Mm-hmm. Then the Next Generation movies, because I'm going this anal on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Then the original series movies. Followed by Voyager, then Deep Space Nine.
Oh, you got Voyager ahead of Deep Space Nine. I thought that'd be the other way around for you.
I'm still not sure. I may adjust this list at some point because I've then got the rebooted films. Not so much Into the Darkness. Mm-hmm. The original series, which I used to love the original series, but I've gone back and watched it now and it's so dry and painful to watch.
I know what's last on your list.
Well, most people will have guessed that. Then I've got that followed up by Enterprise, which I didn't think was bad, but everything else has been better than it so
far. Yeah, I totally agree.
Picard, which I am going to move up purely based on series three, and as long as they don't ruin it. If they ruin it, it's going to stay where it is. Then the animated series, which I just did not like.
And then Discovery. Discovery and, is plummeting to the bottom for me.
And you know, I'm not being mean about it. I'm trying to learn and improve myself. And this is what I say in the article. It's turning around and just saying something is shit is not fair. Because think about all the people that went into it, the writers, the designers, the creators, the film people, the props, everything about that went into it. Heart and soul went into that series. And just because I don't like it does not make it shit. So I'm trying to get into a world that I don't always say that. But I just did not like Discovery. I don't like the fact that they say it's canon, but then we have a ship that's basically this super futuristic ship at the same time as Captain Kirk's Enterprise, which is...
It gets so much
worse. No, I know. They then superly go into the future where the nacelles aren't even connected to spaceships anymore. They just float alongside. It is just jumping the shark of all proportions.
That is why. That it was that last season. There's another season coming, and it's the last one.
Good.
And I will watch it. And it was that moment I said that. I think I said that exact frame phrase that you just said. Tamron's like, they've jumped the shark on this. I do not like that spaceship.
It was just such a stupid idea.
It's like some kind of Lego like Transformer thing. And Michael Bay's designed this spinny ship thing that comes apart and goes back together. And I just thought, this isn't Star Trek now. This is Star Wars.
And but that's what winds me up. Even the Discovery ship is cool if you were saying that was a TNG era ship. But no, it's the era of the Enterprise. Not even Enterprise A, just the Enterprise. And it's just way too futuristic for what it should have been.
I want to take back that comment, actually. It's not what I just said, you know, it's not Star Trek, it's Star Wars, because actually, no, Star Wars wouldn't do that. When Star Wars goes further in the future, things get crapper.
Yeah, like, I noticed that one.
Like, things can seem more rusty, like they're not building new things anymore, you know. But, Discovery is dropped the ball.
For me, it's right at the bottom, for my reasons, but as I said, it's not fair to call it shit. It is designed for a specific genre of people, a specific audience, not genre. And if they enjoy it, they enjoy it.
Season one's great. I like season one.
I hated it. I really did not get on with it at all. But interestingly, I really liked Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
But because they barely mentioned Discovery, it's mentioned like three times in the entirety of the first season. And otherwise, it is just a continuation of the Enterprise's story before Kirk turns up.
It's Pike, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've not seen any of it.
It's well worth watching. I would say, out of that list I just read you, it's probably in the first two-thirds of that list. So it's nowhere near bottom at all. Mm. But as I say, Star Trek is Star Trek. And it was designed to be enjoyed by anyone and everyone. And if Discovery's enjoyed by someone, then it's doing its job. Yeah. I'm not going to be unfair on that one. I don't like it, but I know that a lot of people do, so fair play. I know a lot of people hate the original movies, for example.
I don't hate any of the movies.
Oh, I love all of them, to be honest.
Every single one's great.
I would say the reboot ones are nowhere near my favourite. I don't mind watching them, but give me the originals, and especially the original TNG films.
Yeah.
And talking about that, have you noticed where the music for season three is from of Picard?
No.
It's First Contact's music.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is. A lot of the music and a lot of the sound, it's First Contact's music. Mm. So I don't know if that means anything or whether or not they just really liked it so they're going
to
use
it. You know, what I really liked was the comments to Picard about him being Locutus. And actually, there are people that really don't like him because of it.
But that's what DS9 has.
Oh, does
it? So the very first couple of episodes of DS9, especially the first episode, Sisko arrives on DS9. It realizes it's a shithole. And you've got the Enterprises there. So you've got Picard literally in the episode. And Sisko said, no, I'm dumping this job. I don't want this job. And Picard, he says, something along the lines of, have I met you before? It's like, no, but basically, you killed my wife. He blames Picard for killing his wife because his wife died during the Wolf 3 5'9" attack.
I need you to square something in my brain. So when he becomes Locutus, is that in a series or is that in a film?
That's TNG.
So that's in the series.
It's a series break episode. So right, it's the end of one series.
Yeah.
He gets captured. So they're going up against them. Then he gets captured and he's turned into Locutus. And then the first episode of, I think it's season 4, is them rescuing him.
So there's a period of time between it that a lot time. Happens. Mm. And they can explore all that, yeah. As I was thinking, because it come up in Will Wheaton's book and he mentions about something about it. And then obviously watching the Picard season 4 and they're talking about, you know, how Locutus was responsible for killing loads and loads of them.
Well, yeah, basically, you've got one Borg cube that's got Locutus on heading for Earth and they just destroy hundreds of starships.
Where's the comment that captain makes? He's like, you are the only Borg so bad that you're the only one they gave a name.
Yeah, you're the only Borg they gave a name to.
Yeah.
That's the last thing we'll talk about. I like the fact that the Titan looks like a ship that's older than the Enterprise, yeah, but is actually newer. And I did a bit of reading on it today, and apparently the design choice was, at this point in Picard, the Borg's no longer a threat because obviously Voyager destroyed the sub, whatever the warp gateways, yeah, they were using, the tunnels. So the Borg are no longer this threat. And rather than building ships like the Enterprise E again, which is, yeah, the one we see in the last 3 films, they can go back to building the Constitution style classes. So that's why it's a Neo Constitution or a Constitution class 3. So it looks more like the Enterprise from the original series movies.
Yeah.
And I love it. I am here for every little bit of that.
Yeah.
And even the fact that they've gone down this design choice. And we talked about this with Alien Isolation. Not that we talked about this on the podcast, but the fact that in Alien Isolation, rather than thinking, let's modernize the entire alien idea and make holographic displays everywhere and make it really futuristic, Alien Isolation looks exactly like that 1970s first film, Alien. Everything, yeah, about it, the computers, yeah, the flashing lights, and the Titan, other than the screens have a bit more information on them now, not just flashing colored buttons with a light behind, because that's what they did for TNG. It feels like it's only been 10 or 20 years since the TNG crew.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's this sudden giant acceleration in technology.
Mm.
It just feels like a actual progression.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely there for that. Mm. But that's what I was saying about Discovery, and that why Discovery upset me so much. You look at the bridge of their ship, they've got holographic displays and everything's all bright and shiny. It looked better than the TNG stuff does. So it's...
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, right. We need to come on to the main part of this show now. If you haven't had children or you were an adult by the time 1996 came around, you most likely won't know what this is. But Arthur is an aardvark. He doesn't look like an aardvark. He looks like a hamster, but he is an aardvark. And if you look at the early drawings of him, you'll notice he definitely looked like an aardvark once upon a time. And they made an incredibly popular TV series about him, and it ran from 1996 all the way to 2022. It's got the most catchy of theme songs. Do you know who wrote that theme song and who performs that theme song?
It sounds reggae-ish.
It is reggae-ish, and that's because it's Bob Marley's son, Ziggy Marley.
Oh, is it?
It is Marley.
I mean, it's performing a banger.
That. I don't know if he wrote it, but it is a damn good theme song.
Yeah, it is a banger.
And when you hear it kick in, you're just like, yep, I'm going to feel good for the day.
I've been singing it all week to my little boy, and he quite likes it too.
So, yeah, it's been around for years. Now, 96, I was... that would have been year 8 at secondary school for me, so maybe a bit old for it, because it focuses on Arthur, who's like 8 or 9 years old at the time. But it's a perfectly pleasant cartoon. Kay is watching it at the moment. Baby T kind of puts up with it in the background rather than having his super simple songs, because I don't want to watch those anymore. I'd rather blow my brains out than hear wind the bobbin up for the millionth time. But we have that on in the background at the moment, and it's just a lovely cartoon show. Now, I remember the first few seasons because of coming back from school and watching it, and that would be it. I didn't realise that when you get to season 8, and this episode 10 is the one we're talking about, there is an episode called Bleep. And that's what we're going to watch today. And you're going to be able to join in with us. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to watch this episode as we record. And we'll be pressing pause on the laptop as we go through the episode, just to discuss the points. What memories of Arthur did you have? So, first of all, before I carry on ranting and just going on, what memories of Arthur do you have?
I was too old for it, certainly. It was a show that seemed to always be on when I'd get home and was doing homework. So I wouldn't always turn it over. I've watched it enough to know all the words to the song.
And I'd say, if I remember rightly, it did have a world record for the number of episodes. Yeah. Because it didn't top The Simpsons, I know that much. But it's things like Blue Peter, it was the longest running... Oh, that was it. Blue Peter had the longest running kids' TV show. And then I think Arthur took it over at some point.
It's in the same drawer in my brain filing cabinet.
Absolutely.
As Hey Arnold.
Yes, exactly. Hey Arnold, space. Rugrats, all of that. Yeah. Wild Thornberrys.
Yeah.
Throw them all in. They're in the same drawer. Yeah, same place. Open it up. And that's the cartoon bit of kind of our youth. Now, first of all, I'm just going to remind, we're not talking about lots of other issues. So there's an issue where there's an episode where Arthur punches DW, his sister, over the fact that she breaks his model. We're not going to watch that episode because that's been done to death. And we're not going to watch the episode or the bit because this happens in loads of episodes and it's really upsetting. But I want to see, I'm just handing Rob a picture and I just want to see if he can pick up what is wrong with this picture. And this happens in a lot of episodes, not just with Arthur, but with his bunny rabbit friend, with Buster, with all sorts of his friends all have the same issue. So
I can see that he's not even got his headphones on his ears properly.
Yeah, so when they animate headphones on the earlier episodes, they're where human ears would be, not where the actual animal's ears are.
Oh, yeah, his glasses don't even sit on his ears.
No, nothing is right when you look at it. So, yeah, if we'll put the picture up on the webpage, as we said, but basically, whenever you watch the earlier episodes of Arthur, if they've got headphones on, they're where you'd expect your top of your jaw to be, and they've got their ears on the very top of their head, so... They might be bone conducting headphones for all we know,
yeah,
you know,
could be. Futuristic. Quite advanced.
But anyway, we are going to watch this episode then. As I say, it's called Bleep. Have you got any idea what that could be?
Well, there's probably going to be swearing in it, isn't he? He's saying beep. I don't know. And this, what's that one from Popeye called Meep? Maybe Meep's in it.
Right.
Is it called Meep in Popeye? The weird little creature.
It's called it Jeep.
Jeep. Oh, I'm getting it wrong again.
I think it's Jeep, but...
Can we press spacebar to pause?
I'm pretty sure we can.
So I can just run over and press pause when I want to make a comment.
Absolutely. So, right, I've just got to get this going first, and we need to get halfway through the bloody episode first, because it's one of these ones that's... Yeah, we're not going to help kids grow, no.
No, we're not into helping kids grow. Okay, why are there normal people in it?
Because for some reason at this point of
the series...
We're not
going to play the intro, by the way. Are we going to get copy strikes if we play the intro?
We could play the
intro.
Well,
we can't get copy strikes on a podcast.
Okay, right. We're going to play the intro for you then. So ignore this PBS bit then.
Oh, yeah, he's got a dog. Oh, there he is. Look. Already. Look, he hasn't got his glasses on his ears.
Yeah, no, they're just stuck to the side of his head. Now, you cannot interrupt the theme song like that, okay?
Sorry. I'll just talk over it.
And I say, hey.
Oh, wow, yeah, it's all of them. What's she?
She's a monkey, I think.
Right. They're all aardvarks.
Yeah, at least the whole family's hamsters, in my opinion. But no, they are aardvarks, apparently.
Looking at this, I'm not sure I know what an aardvark looks like.
They're meant to have a long nose.
Oh,
Otis,
yeah, of course.
The aardvark. See BBC.
Course, yeah. They don't look anything like
God,
that.
God, that's a reference. I should have used that as my Do You Remember?
There's his rabbit mate.
Oh, yeah, they had all sorts of creatures, yet they also have pets.
What's she?
I think she's a monkey as well.
What's he?
Rat.
Rat. What's
Hence
he?
The reason his name is Ratburn.
What's he, a bear?
Honestly, I don't know at this point anymore. Right, okay, there was the intro, and it is an amazing intro, but we need to
I spoke over basically the whole thing.
Oh,
sorry.
It doesn't matter. But now we're going to come to an episode.
Oh, okay. I shouldn't have looked at some of that.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Is this going to be like Sopranos?
Just
to sort of look like Mafia.
Okay.
You're
going
like
to have to. I'll cuss out these stupid kids talking. We don't need to
like
be hearing
this. I like this.
Back
oh, now
to
that,
Arthur.
That's a wicked picture.
Here we go. So they're on a sound stage. It looks like they're on a stage.
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
here on the set of The Altos. Oh. You know, that TV show about the family life of
so
a gangster.
The
Sopranos. You've
agreed to let me teach you a little something about television. Here is what's known as... the bleep. Whenever you hear... it means there's something that you're not supposed to hear.
What?
Here is the person who is making the...
So, okay, I don't... All right. I don't know that much about film, making films. There is not a guy sat there pressing a red button beeping.
No,
there is
not. There is not a person sat there with the script waiting to go, oh,
no,
I've got to press
isn't.
The beep.
There, I feel like they do that on radio.
So radio and live TV, there's something like a 30-second delay in what you're seeing, so they can just dump if they need to.
So there is someone pressing a button then.
Yeah, but that's the production team. They don't have a random person there with headphones with the red button that is...
Could you imagine, right? So your job, right? You are the person that presses the button during a show, and you go, oh, right, I'm going to be... I'm the guy... Okay, right, we're going to role play. I'm the guy who does the job.
Right, okay.
You're my wife, right? And I've just come home from work. So, tea is coughing. Oh, it's a tough day at work, love. Talk back to me. This is role playing.
I thought it was the person that was going beep. I was waiting for you to swear so I could go beep.
The person that's been at work pressing the beep button, right? Oh, you're my wife.
Oh, hello, darling. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yeah, I'd love a cup of tea. It was a new podcast today, Cheap Show. Oh, my God.
Do you need 17 spoons of sugar as normal, then, darling?
Have you got any plasters? My finger from pressing that button all day is just blistered.
Oh, put it in my mouth, let me taste it.
Yeah, no, just die. Okay, right. Well, imagine that's your job. You go, oh... We had an alcoholic in today. He would not stop swearing, you know?
So, to point out, we're not even 20 seconds into
the
episode.
I'm not claiming anyone
yet.
The Cheap Show is an alcoholic. I was just saying it.
Right.
Okay, let's go through a little bit. So, that job doesn't exist.
So, we've heard the Altos, a.k.a. the Sopranos, so they didn't get told off, I'm guessing. But yeah, it just gets worse, this episode. Okay. By the end of it, you're going to, just...
Watch and listen how it's used.
Ugh, this is terrible, Applebetty. It's my mother. Now there was a woman who could make an amazing Applebetty. When she made it, the whole neighborhood stood up.
I mean,
the house.
It's very clear to any adult what's going on here.
If it's okay with you, T. I'd like to give that pastry chef a taste of his own cannoli.
Hey, none of you.
Can I? That's a C-bomb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People can't see my face. I'm like a gasp.
Oh, was it the C-bomb or was it fuckers? None of you fuckers do this.
Sopranos wouldn't have used the C-bomb. Yeah, they'd be saying effers.
Yeah, but can I just point out, this is Arthur. And the entire first part of this is a fake soprano setup with copious amounts of swearing going on with a person pressing a button to beep it.
They look good, though. They look like the Sopranos guys.
Oh, yeah. It's a brilliant, brilliant Mickey take out of it.
Yeah.
And there's an episode of Arthur where they... Oh, God, I know too much about Arthur. Where they rip the mick out of loads of cartoons. So they're like, well, what happens if it was like this? And they do Beavis and Butthead. They do South Park.
What, Arthur?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Say so, capiche?
Cut!
And no one was stopping Arthur being there listening to this.
Well, he heard it all.
Exactly.
Only in television. But wouldn't it be great if it did? Then you could bleep out whatever you wanted. Catch ever. That's it. You're never playing on this team ever, ever again. In fact, you're never going to play on team ever again.
Oh, wow.
It's...
Mom!
I mean, so we've just got so many bits going on the screen.
And best of all, the bleep could be used when your mom and dad are going to visit your school and... Huh? Hey, what's going on? Stop it! Stop!
What's going on now?
Oh, his annoying sister's involved. Oh, of course she is.
Hold on. Why is there an adult, an employed adult, alone in a room with that child anyway? Reading, what's that magazine he's reading?
Copy of Razzle.
Yeah, probably.
Or Reader's Wives.
Was that it? It was that, it's done?
No. That's the intro.
Oh, because
there's
got...
an entire episode.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm going to subject you to the entire horrible episode at this point.
Mm.
Yeah, now DW's perving on her brother in the bath. It's just disgusting. This will make a very nice
present for Ethel. Don't drop that vase. Just wait here,
sweetheart. Well, now, the whole idea of this episode, by the way, is to explain to children why they shouldn't swear. And as Jem pointed out, this could have been fixed in the first couple of minutes of this episode. And you'll see why in a minute.
Stop that. You'll break something.
Whatever.
That's enough back talk, young man. You can forget about going to that concert tonight.
What animal are they?
You can't do that.
Oh, who knows? Cats, I think. Yep.
Come on, DW, I'm done.
And this is what this whole episode is. This whole episode is basically her trying to work out what does this word? Is it magical? What can it do?
Oh, so, okay, right. So she heard the word.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
just not allowed to hear the word.
Well, of course not. They're not going to broadcast an episode of Arthur to hundreds of thousands of kids across the world with actually saying, by the way, DW heard the word fuck.
Well, yeah, I get that. But what I mean is that we're living in a scenario where someone's pressing that beep button and the people there can actually still hear it. Because I was getting the impression Arthur couldn't hear the words that were getting beeped.
I have the idea that entire intro bit was just purely to say, when it comes to TV and you hear the beep, it means we've basically removed a word that you're not allowed to hear, i.e. it's a swear word. The intro fixes the entire episode when Arthur could have just quite easily said, if you hear the bleep on TV or an adult says that's a naughty word, don't repeat it. It's a bad word. That's all you need to know.
She just heard that boy call his mum a cocksucker.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
Now she basically spends the entire episode trying to work out
what the word was.
Well.
Oh no, she knows the word. Doesn't know what it means.
Yeah.
Oh. Never mind.
Right, but that is the very basics of it. You know what? What we'll do? We're going to go back and watch this without this recording. And then we will come back to you and I'll link a way to watch it because I think this is just going to go on way too long for an episode to watch an entire episode of this and have people listening to it. So yeah, watch along if you want and we will join you in about 15 minutes when we finish watching this. So, okay, we are back from that little 10-minute episode. I think it was only about 10 minutes. I don't know. It would have been too long to have played at the same time and talked over it. There was enough notes made that will horribly surprise you at how bad this is. So if you skip that first bit, basically the idea of this episode is that they're explaining that swear words on TV are normally bleeped and that swear words, the ultimate goal of the episode is to say to kids, don't use swear words, they're bad, nasty things and you shouldn't swear. That is what they're trying to get across in the episode and they fail miserably. And there's just so many points in this episode. So the episode, let's just talk. Arthur is saying at the very beginning, in that intro, we bleep out swear words. We then see DW hears this swear word in a shop, which is just hysterically funny anyway, because it's just so out of the blue. If you hadn't watched the intro bit and you're suddenly watching this episode of Arthur and you see a kid call his mum a cunt and it gets bleeped and you're like, did I just hit? It's the sort of thing you'd watch on YouTube and think, no, someone's done this on purpose to make it funny. And no, it really kind of exists. At that point, all that needed to be done in this episode is all they did in like the last 10 seconds of the episode, which is the mum saying they're swear words and you shouldn't use them.
Yeah.
That's all this episode needed.
Imagine turning on the television and like you're saying, this is halfway through. So you have no context about what's going on.
No.
And it's just a cartoon and everyone's beeping. The parents must be like, what? What's happening? Didn't we made a comment that it was a third of the way through before anyone said that it was a swear word.
Yeah, a third of the way through, it's a word that makes people drop things or can make them become mind control if you believe the evil twins in the show. But it's about a third of the way through before anyone tells her it's a swear word.
Yeah, I mean, the Tibbles are probably the best characters in that episode, aren't they? Because they're pretty evil.
Well, they're full stop one of the best characters in the show, but it's just so bizarre and odd. And honestly, I can't put my finger on what else could go weirder in an episode of Arthur than this.
One comment I've written down here, DW, what a bitch.
Oh, she is an absolutely horrible character. She's the sort of character you want to see hit by the bus. I'm being looked at like a dog, and it's just like
he hasn't had any tea yet, so he's really looking at
it. You want food, poor Papa. It's DW's a horrible character, and just constantly. I mean, there's an episode where Arthur punches her, and you can't help but think he was right doing it, and you shouldn't feel like that ever. It's never the right thing to punch someone, but with her, you absolutely can't.
She's
help
the baddie think. In this episode.
Oh god, yeah. It even ends the episode. So she persuades her next door neighbour, who is younger than her, to say the swear word to her parents. And when the parents come round to moan about it, she blames Arthur.
Yeah, she blamed Arthur as well, yeah.
She's just a little turd.
She's not a nice child. She's the Peppa Pig of the Arthur world.
Oh god, yeah. Absolutely.
What else are on here? Yeah, I liked that. Dream sequence where the moon crashed into it, like.
Oh god, yeah. So there's a dream sequence where she tells her parents this rude word that obviously they bleep over, and not only do you hear the police arriving, you then see all the windows exploding, then you see the moon crash into the earth and stars dropping down.
Dawn of the Third Day, you know, kind of Majora's Mask-esque moon crashing into the city.
So throughout the entire episode, there's these weird dream sequences. She keeps on happening to think, what will happen when I say this word? And she inevitably doesn't say it. But when she does say it and she gets into trouble, that bit's not done too badly. I even remember going back to my youth. I remember it being Christmas Day one year. I was probably about 12 or 13. And we always used to go for a little family walk around the lanes behind where we lived. And I was just in that teenage phase. And I was walking up front. I was like, I don't really want to... Oh, I want to be fucking at home. And I just remember feeling this hand around the back of my head as a slap came in, because it was the first time I'd sworn in front of my parents at this point. And it's just like, oh, okay, I better not do that in front of my parents then.
Yeah.
It takes me back to that. But the weirdest part of this episode, okay, even if you kind of walk away from this and just go, at least it's taught children what the bleep means and that they shouldn't use swear words. The last 10 or 15 seconds of this episode is just, it ramps up even more. And I really honestly recommend, even if you only go and watch the bits we're telling you about, go and find it on YouTube or Prime or wherever you can and watch it. Because the very end bit, DW goes back to school. And all you then have is all these little four-year-old, five-year-old kindergartners running around the playground, calling each other cunt.
Yeah.
And that is it. I know it's bleeped, but there is absolutely no other word that fits with what they're using.
Without a shadow of a doubt, that one there I'm pointing at, I think the white one, the white rabbit thing, she drops a C-bomb.
Oh, absolutely. They're all basically, it's just like, it's not, you look like a fucker. It's, you know, that doesn't work. It's like, oh, you look like a cunt.
Yeah.
Yo, cunt. I'm making this episode definitely an explicit episode today, but it's just... constant beep, 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 beep in this last bit. It's like, what the hell is going on?
It's all over it. I'm well happy with that. I mean, I don't know if that one was recording, that middle one, but I was gasping throughout that like I was a shocked housewife. And I was like, a gasp the entire time. My mouth was wide open watching that.
It's...
I was not expecting that. That was really good.
It's not anything you expect of... Yeah. This well-known children's TV series. This isn't even halfway through. This is like season 8, and they got to 22 before they canned it.
Yeah.
So this is like still the early days of Arthur, where they hadn't run out of things to do. They just chose to do this. Mm. And as I said to Rob, I think we were recording at the time, there is an episode where they have... the animation changes. It goes to Beavis and Butthead. It goes to South Park. It goes to all these popular teenage cartoons. And I honestly can't remember why it does it, but it's really cleverly done. Really cleverly done.
So what I'm doing while we do this outro, I'm setting up this Game Boy camera. I'm going to take a picture of you.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much. You need the light of a million suns on me to get a good contrast picture.
Yeah, we'll see. It's I don't know if the cartridge is playing up or if the Game Boy is playing up.
Right. Okay, so at the moment, Rob's just playing with his Game Boy.
Blowing on the cartridge.
Because, of course, that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
Although, isn't it actually bad for it? Because it makes it moist.
Yeah, because it puts moisture on the contact. What you're meant to do is this. You're meant to do that.
And just the wrist motion you were just doing there was you could tell it's just amazing wrist action, just amazing in every little bit.
It's not going to work now. I've got about four other Game Boys upstairs, so before you go, I'm going to grab one of the other Game Boys.
Right, so
when we stop recording, and
we will get a picture on there, because there's also hacks on YouTube to show you how you can get the images off onto a computer.
I need to do that because I was just going to take a picture of the screen.
Yeah, it will kill the cartridge. I think they basically you solder on bits and pieces to it.
Yeah,
No. Stick with the old-fashioned way. Or get a Game Boy printer and then scan it.
It might show up better on a Game Boy Color.
Oh, possibly, yeah.
It might show up better on that. I'll try it on that.
Okay, well, anyway, look, that was Arthur. Well worth it. If you've got kids... Arthur's a brilliant cartoon to watch. It's up there with Bluey. You know, it smashes most modern cartoons
that's
out.
A
but
statement.
That's about as much dad talk as I want to do today. I just wanted to bring it to the table because it is such a batshit crazy episode for anyone to do, whether it's a kid's cartoon or not.
If that was an episode they wouldn't be repeating.
So I don't know. I don't think it was ever aired in the UK.
Right, because I've seen a lot of Arthur episodes, I reckon, and I think I would have remembered it.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But anyway, right, that is that. And for once, we're actually going to have an episode that may be only just a tickle over an hour, which is a really nice thing. For editing is brilliant.
Yeah.
And B, just because I'm sure people would like a shorter episode. So why don't you tell us about the next episode, Rob? What are we doing in the next episode?
Well, you have gone for a painful task of ranking your favourite films for every year since your birth.
But you saying me, you also
I did, but you've
this.
Gone a bit further than I had. So you did, originally you did your one film, and then you asked me to do it, and we've kept mine a secret, so you don't know what any of mine are. And I couldn't pick just one, so I did some honourable mentions. And then have you gone and updated yours?
Mine's updated, so I now have my top film, followed by second and third, which aren't any particular order, the second or third, if I'm honest. And then a film that I absolutely would not watch from that year.
Yeah.
That I just loathe or hate. So, yeah.
So I think next episode might come into two episodes. We're going to see it because we rant. So
nearly 40 years of films, and knowing how me and Rob will rant and disappear off at a tangent at the slightest drop of something, it's probably going to be a two-episode special, that one.
I've got some hot takes on mine, so...
Yeah, well, you like twins, so
we
know
spoilers.
That's going to be problematic.
Spoilers for next time. So we're going to go through that, see how many we do in an hour.
Yeah,
might be across two. Maybe do that, have a break for something else, and then come back again. I don't know what we do.
Yeah, we'll see how we get through it. But that is the next couple of episodes at least. So all that leaves us with now is the social channels as normal. So if you are a person that is sticking on Twitter as it burns and dies slowly thanks to Elon Musk, then you can find us on @channel84, and Rob is @_flatrob.
Am I underscore?
No, you're not.
I don't know why I put underscore.
You're @flatrob.
Don't get that wrong. I've got 10 followers.
Ooh, go and make his followers go up. You can find us on Facebook. If you dump it into the search, you can look up the Channel 84 Variety Show or facebook.com/ the Channel 84 Variety Show with no spaces.
We're on Instagram as well.
We are also on Instagram. I forgot to put that on. That is also _channel84 on Instagram. And you can also find us on TikTok _channel84. And you can find us at our webpage, where we're fairly active, maybe one or two posts a week, on everything nostalgic through to dad, through to music, to film, to TV, you name it, we post about it. And that's on channel84.co.uk. And obviously you're listening to us now, but if you would like to share the podcast, please hand out pod.link/channel84, and that will give anyone you share that with the opportunity to listen to the podcast on whatever platform they would normally use. And that is it. Thank you very much for listening. Rob, I know you're dying to say it. You've got that smirk on your face as normal. But we are going to say our goodbyes. Thank you very much for listening. It's been absolutely fantastic having you here with us as normal. Send us a message on any of those. You can also email us, by the way, at podcasts@channel84.co.uk, which Rob now has access to too. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time for the film special. Rob, thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Love you.
Love you too.
Stay classy.
Bye-bye.